Daniel chapter 6, if you will, beginning and looking down at verse number 10. Daniel 6, verse number 10, the Bible says this. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, this is the writing telling him he couldn't pray, he went into his house and his windows being open in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Let's pray. Lord, I ask for your help in these next few minutes. And Lord, you know that we are a needy people. Lord, you know that we need to talk to you. We need to commune with you. We need to fellowship with you. We need to adore you. We need to confess to you. We need to make supplication to you. We need to give thanks to you. All of which are found in prayer. I pray, Lord, that we will not just agree with the fact that we need to pray, that we will enter into prayer. I pray that we will have a praying student body, a praying faculty, a praying administration. Lord, I ask you to help me in my life in this area. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Like some of you, I grew up in a Christian home. I was blessed to grow up in the home of a pastor. I was actually born on the college campus of a university where he was teaching Bible back in the 1950s. I grew up in a praying home. We prayed for our meals. We prayed for special needs. We prayed for other people. We had a family altar, and we would pray. But probably one of the things that most impacted me was that I knew that my dad was a praying person. I knew that every day at a certain time in the morning in his office, he would get behind his desk and get on his knees and pray to God. I knew this because at times, maybe in the summertime, I would go and want to see him, and I couldn't see him because his secretary, who served there for over 40 years, would say, "Your dad's praying right now. He does not want to be disturbed." It's interesting. In verse number 11, it says, these men assembled and found Daniel praying. Students, I'd like to ask you a question today. When was the last time someone found you praying? Now, I know that we ought to have a quiet place and a secret place to pray. But I'll never forget when I was a college student, well over three decades ago, walking into a room and someone laughing when they saw someone praying. They said, "He must be in trouble, he's praying." That was a testimony to his lack of practice and to his life. They found Daniel praying. Maybe it's not your roommate who finds you praying, but in the last week, has God found you praying? He said, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Prayer is asking and receiving. The Bible says, "Ye have not because ye ask not." I wonder how many unemployed have prayed multiple times in the last several days for a job. Pastor had one thing to say to me last night before he left. One thing, Brother Sams. He said, "Pray for me." I said, "Pastor, I promise to pray for you at least three times a day during the time you're gone." We have not. Because we ask not. Prayer changes people. Prayer changes circumstances. And prayer can actually change the will of God. Are you a praying Christian today? I want to look at this passage in just a moment, but God in his sovereignty amazingly allows prayers to influence him. The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, "And the Lord repented," Ezekiel chapter 32, verses 7 through 14. He changed his mind because of prayer. In Isaiah chapter 38, one of the most powerful illustrations about prayer is told about the life of Hezekiah. The Bible says in Isaiah 38, beginning of verse 1, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, "Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." By the way, those are good things to remind God of if they are true. God is far more likely to bless his children who are walking in accordance to his wishes and his commands. As a father of three children, I know this: if they want something from me and they've been doing right and honoring God, I want to do things for them. I want to help them. Conversely, if they're living in disobedience or rebellion, it's not a time to expect many blessings. He said, "How I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." Remember what Hezekiah did before he asked God for a special blessing. Let's look at that again. "I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, "Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. God hears and answers prayer. But he cannot hear a prayer that is not given. Some things in the Bible are rather obvious. God says in the book of Psalms, he says, "I will guide thee with my eye." But are we looking towards his face so he can guide us with his eye? I was talking this morning about the early chapters of Genesis and about talking to God. And I said, could you imagine if in my relationship with my wife and I would go days on end and not talk to her? I could promise you that would be a sign of a serious problem. I do a lot of couples retreats, and one thing I always share in a message, one of the, I call it the vitamins for a happy marriage, A is affirmation, C is communication. There has to be communication there. And we must commune with God. God created us to talk to him and walk with him and work for him. Did you talk to him this morning? Did you walk with him this morning? I do not know how it works, but I know that it does work. When we work, but when we pray, God works. God wants to work in your life. Brother Sands has told me the story on more than one occasion, how he covenanted with a friend to fast and pray so they would be able to adopt a child. And he and that friend fasted and prayed for 21 days. And 1 week later, God allowed them to adopt a child. God hears and answers prayer. One of the classes I teach is called Professional Training, and I make them read biographies of great Christians. And time after time, we see the place that God has played in their life through prayer. I was talking in U.S. history about the one colony of the three early colonies. There was Jamestown in 1607, the Plymouth Plantation in 1620, and Massachusetts Bay Colony in 1630, but it was the separatists who went to the Plymouth Plantation, those who came over on the Mayflower, those who created the first Thanksgiving, the only colony, by the way, who paid back their sponsors. You can read about it, called The History of the Plymouth Plantation, written by John Bradford, that early governor. And I told the history class, I said, what amazed me was they prayed about everything. They were constantly in prayer. They're going out to plow. Lord, help me to plow right today. Lord, guide me as I plow. What fields I should go to. It was all a matter of prayer. I wonder, friends, is anything a matter of prayer for us today? Did we pray and ask God this morning that he would help us to learn all that we should learn today? Did we pray as we read our Bibles this morning, Lord, help me to learn the principles you have for the Word of God today? Did we pray this week and say, Lord, show me the people you'd have me to minister to this week? It does say in Genesis 24, 27, I, being in the way the Lord led me. He wants to lead you, but are we asking Him to lead us? He wants to do that. Prayer does not replace work, but I can assure you, without prayer, your work is useless. Someone has asked this, a pastor, on multiple occasions. I've heard him give the same answer. They say, what is the secret to Lancaster Baptist? He says, two things. Work and pray. Work and pray. Are you praying about your school bill? Not the little, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, but really praying. Heartfelt prayer. As the Bible says, praying without ceasing. Do we pray like that? Do we ask God to work in us and through us? Are we praying for power? Are we praying for perseverance? Are we praying for provision? That's what God would have us to do. He yearns to hear our prayers. The Bible says that our prayers go up like a sweet smell of incense in the nostrils of God. It's attractive to Him when we pray. Look with me at this passage, if you will. And as we look at Daniel, we know he was preferred. You find that in Daniel chapter 6, beginning verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. What was there? An excellent spirit. It says in verse 4, no fault was found in him. That's a pretty amazing thing. They could find none occasion or fault. Daniel chapter 6, verse number 4. Pretty remarkable thing. One of the Greek philosophers who lived well before Christ said this. His name was Plato. The middle of the three great Greek philosophers, Socrates first, then Plato, then Aristotle. He said, when men speak ill of thee, live as so nobody would believe them. That's how Daniel lived. He had a great testimony. He was a man of great character. It's no surprise that God heard his prayers and answered his prayer request. I challenge you to be a person of integrity. It's interesting, Abraham Lincoln said this. He said, I desire so to conduct the affairs of this administration that if at the end, when I come to lay down the reins of power, if I have lost every other friend on earth, I shall have at least one friend left, and that friend shall be down inside of me. For I shall know that I have done the right thing. A man of integrity. Daniel, he was preferred above all the princes. He was given honor. So we know what he was. But I'd like to answer the question briefly. Not what he was, we know that. But why was he that way? And I believe he was that way because he walked with God. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe with all my heart that nearness is likeness. When you spend time with someone, you know what they like. Dr. Goddard and I have been friends for a long time. I know that his favorite football team is Florida State, the Seminoles. He told me yesterday, now ranked fourth in the nation. I heard about one of their running backs had a good game on Saturday. He had two runs of over 75 yards. I thought to myself, Dr. Goddard will be happy about that. And I'm sure he was. By the way, do we ever have things happen in our life that we think the Lord will be happy with that? He'll be happy with what happened today. With the way I comported myself on soul winning on Saturday. The way I decided to serve other people. The way I sought to be an encouragement to someone. Let's look at Daniel's prayer life very briefly. look forward, if you will, to verse number 10. And I'm going to share three simple things about his prayer. Billy Sunday, the great evangelist, said this. Not a great education, a Major League Baseball player, said to be the fastest man in the major leagues, but a God-used man. Most times you see a picture of a man preaching at a revival. You see him holding onto a pulpit on one leg, hanging out over like this. That's a picture of Billy Sunday. How did he do it? Why did God use him? Let me quote his words to you. He that is a stranger to prayer is a stranger to power. He that is a stranger to prayer is a stranger to power. I covet the prayers of those who pray for me. I stopped and saw a widow on Saturday who's older than my mother would be if she were alive today. She's very dear to me. I know she prays for me every day. What a blessing. What an encouragement. I wonder, friend, today, who would say about you, I know they pray for me every day. We covet the prayers of others. Who are you praying for? I texted a graduate in a faraway state last night. I said, I prayed for you today. I was thinking about you today. Why the lack of victory over sin in the average Christian's life? Why the lack of passion for the things of God? Why is it that we could sit there and pay no attention as Pastor pours his heart out? Maybe because we have not prepared ourselves in prayer. How is it that we could go on an outreach or a ministry in the summer that's a soul-winning outreach and spend much time watching movies? Maybe because we have not spent time in prayer. Let's look very briefly, three things, and you see them here in verse number 10. First of all, about Daniel, we see that he had a place to pray. He had a place to pray. It was his chamber. I don't think necessarily your dorm room is the best place unless you're up before others are up. But I could tell you today, a roommate in 1975 to 76, who every day when I got out of bed at that particular college, they had a bell. You had to get out of bed. I believe it was 7 a.m. He was always up, and he was always on his knees. His name was Steve Lavins. That was 1975, and I'm telling you about it in 2012. It was the next year, another school, and it was another roommate. By that time, I had enough character to start getting up a little bit earlier myself. But when I got up, this roommate was always up. He was always on his knees. His name was Eric Halfley. That was 1976, 1977. Would you like to know what's unique about these two men? They're both still in full-time Christian work today. Oh, by the way, they're still married to their first wife. They're still faithful to the Bible they were using 30 years ago. And I have no doubt in my heart they still spend time in prayer every day. A place to pray. The Bible says have a closet. I remember one student, former student of mine, who thought it'd be a great idea to go to a closet. He got in one of the maintenance closets of the college. They had bleach and ammonia in there, and he passed out. They did not find him until someone opened the door and he fell on the ground. Choose the right closet. But a closet, the Bible is talking about, is a private place to pray. Getting alone. My place for Bible reading and prayer, not my Bible study time, not sermon preparation time, but I'm at a desk and I have aids and things to write and things to type on. But I have a little love seat in my bedroom. And before I ever leave my room, that's where I spend time. And spend time in God's Word and spend time talking to Him. Friends, find a place to pray. Secondly, a position to pray. A position to pray. I remember some roommates who were praying in bed. Blankets pulled up to their chin and head nestled on the pillow. I said, taking a nap? I'm praying. The Bible talks about some of the positions for prayer: kneeling, standing, laying down, prostrate. I have a dear friend, he's elderly, probably not long for this world. His name is Brother Charles Holmsher. I love Brother Holmsher. He is a founder 60 years ago of the Neighborhood Bible Time Ministry. And I love him for a number of reasons. So many kids have been saved that ministry. Literally, probably millions of verses have been memorized through that ministry. I've seen many young people go out. I've always felt they came back stronger for having been in the ministry. But he's special to me because I remember many years ago actually being in a church in another state where I was overseeing a Neighborhood Bible Time rally, and he came to run the rally himself. And he said, "We need to pray together each day." I remember going in the pastor's office, and he would lay on the ground and cry out to God. It touched my heart. I was preaching in northern Colorado this summer with a tour group, and my wife was with me, and we were heading towards Denver. We had an 8-hour drive that day, and I said, "We had to go see Brother Holmsher." I'd never been to his home. I hadn't seen him in 3 years, and I knew I had his address. I tried to write him an encouraging note now and then, and I had it in my phone, and my wife said, "Oh, I'm not sure we have time." I said, I don't usually talk like this, but I said, "I don't think that idea came from the devil," you know. And my wife laughed, and I pulled over on the freeway, and I took out my iPhone, and I punched in his address, the GPS. It was one of those just moments from the Lord. His exit was 200 feet in front of us. Of course, I looked at my wife, and she said, "No, I didn't do that. I said, "I think the Lord wants us to go see him." We got off. That was the street he lived on, 3 miles down. We went down and spent about 45 minutes with him, and I really went there because I wanted him to pray for me and pray for the group. I had the kids sing for him for a little while, and finally he said, "Well, Brother Mark, why don't you pray for me?" I said, "Well, I'll pray for you, Brother Holmes, if you'll pray for us." And I prayed, and he had some of the kids pray. And then the next thing you know, he prayed for us. It was a special time. We got up and walked out. I was the last one to leave his room there in that assisted living quarter. He was on oxygen. And I knew that I might not ever see him this side the gates of heaven. I'm glad we took time to pray with him. He's now in a nursing care facility, can't even live on his own anymore. We were in Saginaw, Michigan, and I knew another man that I wanted to meet. He spoke here one time. He's in his 80s. His name is Pastor Don Green. Brother Green had 6 children, 5 boys, they're all preachers, 1 daughter. If you were here last year, you might remember her name. Her name was Gray. She passed away with cancer on the mission field. But Brother Green's a special man. He's a man of prayer. And I wanted the students to have him pray for them. And I went by. You see, Brother Green spends every day from 4 a.m. to 8 a.m. praying. Every day. I have a picture. I'll try to show it next time I'm in chapel. It's on my iPhone, of his prayer list. It's about that thick. Big letters. I knew I was on his prayer list. I asked him to put Dr. Getch and Pastor Chapel on there. He wrote those in. Then I had him pray. And John L. was the guy in the group. We had a mixed trio. And I said, "John L., I said, you want to be a preacher? You ought to ask Dr. Green to pray for you." He got down in front of him, kneeled, and Brother Green put his hands on his head and prayed for that young man. I believe in prayer. We ought to have a place to pray. We ought to have a position to pray. And finally, we ought to have a practice to pray. Please write this down if you're taking notes. That which gets scheduled gets done. You want to be an effective soul winner? When are you going to go? I have people tell me, "Well, I'm going to exercise more." I ask them, "When? What time of the day? What days of the week?" They say, "I'm going to read more." That's a good thing to do. When are you going to read? What are you going to read? "I'm going to learn my Bible better." How? When? You see, ladies and gentlemen, we make time for that which is important. It was 2 years ago here in Lancaster. I was going door to door. I knocked on a man's door and I invited him to church, and I remember telling him, as I've told many others, "You come to church and I'll have you over to my house for lunch, or I'll take you out for a sandwich." And He said, I can't do that. I can't do that. I said, you work on Sundays? He goes, no, I'm disabled. I don't work. I said, well, why can't you come? He goes, NASCAR. He goes, I go to every race across the country. I think it was 42 races a year, something like that. He has time for that which is important to him. Not important to God, but important to him. Daniel's practice was 3 times a day. The Bible says, as his practice was. College students, this is the time to begin to have a practice of prayer. I'm not going to tell you when. I'm not going to tell you where. I'm just going to tell you, you need to do that. I would encourage you to have prayer lists. Different things you pray for. I have a prayer list with our alumni. I have a prayer list with our student body. I just got the pictures of all the freshmen. I already had their names to pray for them. I have prayer lists for all the pastors I've been with. My wife and I have collected missionary prayer cards. We've got about 350 of them. That's another day's list. Because the Bible tells us to avoid vain repetition. Will you have a practice? You're now 3 weeks into college. For some, your last year, some your junior year, some your sophomore, some your first year. I hope and I pray for you that you will make prayer a practice in your life. Will you have a place where you pray? Will you have a position to pray in? Don't get too comfortable. Maybe you should talk and walk with God. Carry your list with you. Maybe you need to laminate some things. But get away from other people and get with God.